Good morning. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest. I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke.
Happy Christmas Eve. And I am proud to say I have been 8 weeks now clean and sober.
Yes. Well, you look different.
I haven't had a piece of candy for 8 weeks.
Wow. It's amazing. Your skin is so vibrant and colored red. It's amazing. It's changed your life.
If you're telling me you're attracted to me, I'm going to go back to candy.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Nick's on fire as always. He's got his shirt, Don't Be a Recall Retard. And so we'll start off the show with that. What's up, Nick?
Well, you know, I listened to Kevin Cry's show last week, and it was so good, and he told us about a lot of what's going on with the county. I encourage everybody to listen to his shows every other Sunday at this time. But he asked an interesting question. What is justice to you?
Wow. Prior to Obama, I used to think justice was blind and equal, like the scales that are on the little statue. Since Obama, I have, and I'm sure it happened before, but it wasn't so obvious and blatant. But now justice has got a foot on one side, and it's 100% liberal. And so justice to me was an ability for you to state, to be accused, I guess, or to state your defense and have an impartial decision rendered is justice, in my opinion. That is no longer the case.
I've got a whole different direction than you, Doug. I think justice would be the working man keeping 80% of his income.
Oh.
When you get done with taxes and registration fees and all the things that are thrown in there, you're talking probably 60% of your income, if not a little bit more. One of the taxes that really stood out to me was a excessive fuel tax. It was 15 years ago. I walked by a Dodge Viper down at Crown Motors, and I looked at the sticker on the side, and there was a $3,000 excessive fuel tax on it. Now, what kind of crap is that?
Well, I mean, there's not a tax that is not the friend of government. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, is I had a discussion with my brother-in-law who's Dutch, and he was making good money. And as a basis, let this all sink in for folks listening. As a basis, he has 50% income tax. So he already works 6 months only for the government. Then they had a 21% sales tax. So now we're to that. Then they were paying $8 a gallon for gasoline. Most of that was taxed. And they had a road tax, and they had this tax. And I asked him, how much did he actually hold over from every euro? And it was his estimate that he held over about 17 cents.
Yeah, well, that's them. We need to stand up.
We're close.
Not let it happen here. We need to get rid of justice. To me, would not be having unconstitutional bureaucracies that are spending our money.
Yes.
That are making laws that they don't have the official capacity to make. They just make them up. Look at Deb Newland. She's the head of what, agriculture? She just makes up, oh, you're not going to drill here, you're not going to do this, you know.
But, yes, justice, Nick, touch back on yours, is I agree with you. Justice is you get to keep the benefits of your labor.
The fruits of your labor.
Yes.
And when the government takes it, that's socialism.
Marxism.
That's getting to Marxism.
Yep.
And Denise D'Souza pointed that out. Here in the United States, if you invent something that goes over good and you just start reaping the profits, those are yours to keep.
Yep.
In a socialist Marxist system, the government takes it, and you're still eating on, housing.
Yep.
How is it justified that they take money from you and I, who have worked our rear ends off our whole lives and bought our property? They take our money and rent houses for other people, or even buy houses to put people in, the Home Key Project.
Uh-huh. Project Home Key.
You know, justice to me is a lot more than just the judicial system.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying and your angle there. And in my opinion, justice comes from the idea of the legal system, because that's where, you know, we theoretically want justice most. But if you go on like a global worldview, it's crazy how much injustice we get dealt, and we're told that we just have to deal with it. And I agree with you. And it's funny is, if not for rhinos and liberals, there would be common sense justice in the world.
Look at our educational system. How is it just that they have watered it down so bad and overpaid so many of them? You notice how they play musical principals now so they can climb the pension ladder, in my opinion. And listen to this. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and the Chicago Board of Education are following the lead of other major cities and eliminating gifted school programs because it's not fair.
It's racist.
That's right.
It's completely racist. For
we get rid of these gifted kids and everybody's in the same pot and we're all doing real well. It's the same old thing. They're just lowering the standards. They cut out the ACT test, didn't they?
For entry into college, they got rid of the SAT. Governor Brown up in Oregon with the Oregon legislature. So let's be clear. It took a group effort of stupidity, liberal stupidity, but they eliminated the requirement that you have to actually be able to read to graduate. They've lowered the standards so low in the name of liberal equality that you now don't have to be able to read to graduate from Oregon's high school.
I remember Rush Limbaugh going on and on and on, and I believe it was a school district in Chicago. They passed a rule that if you were still in the senior year of high school and 25 years of age, you weren't welcome to come back. It might have been 23, but I think it was. He can milk a subject. He milked that for about a week and a half. So here's some news here. Judy Flores, do you know who she is?
I've heard the name.
She is retiring. She is the superintendent of education that was just reelected in 2022.
Oh.
And she is retiring, and the board is going to pick her replacement here probably in February.
Huh.
Does that sound familiar?
The sheriff. Two sheriffs. Now we're trying to do that with the possibility of
district attorney.
District attorney. Kevin Cry, if the recall that they're going to appoint whoever they want. Yeah, that seems to be out of the liberal playbook.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, she had to know she was going to retire in a year.
Yeah.
And yet she ran for the office. To me, when you're running for a position, you're signing a contract that you'll complete that job.
Well, and to his credit, I'll say this, to his credit, Michael Johnson has been asked that very question as sheriff, and he said he's going to serve his full term without spiking the thing. So he at least has said he's not going to do what Flores is doing.
I remember Bozinko said the same thing. He was asked if he was going to retire. Oh, no, he'll serve his whole term.
Yeah.
2 years later, we've got McGraney in. By the way, where's Eric?
I know exactly where Eric's at. He's working for a local real estate company.
Really?
I know it for a fact.
Oh, I wonder if he's still drawing a wage from the county.
Well, if he's in real estate as a new agent, he's probably not making a lot of money right now, so he might need that pension.
I suspect if he'd worked in the private sector his whole life, he probably wouldn't have made a hell of a lot of money.
Well, he doesn't seem to have a lot of accomplishments in his career and a lot of controversy around him. So I agree. If he was in the private sector, he probably would have been fired a couple times and had to scramble. But funny enough, I was on the show with Trish on Thursday, and we were talking about public pensions and everything else. And these people, and I'm not going to accuse Flores of doing it, but they have the ability as a public employee to retire quite young. Most of them are in their 50s after they get 30 years on, where you and I, Nick, have to work till we're 67 or even 70 soon. And they had the ability to spike their pension with 3 years of their highest pay. So maybe Flores, when she won, was given a raise or a bonus, and now she qualifies, because that seems to be the MO for public employees, is they stay just long enough to get that 1 year in to qualify for the 3 year average.
In fairness to her, she has been in in SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education, and counting as superintendent, I think, for the last 7 years comes to 24 years. And, you know, I wouldn't accuse her of spiking her pay. If she did, she shouldn't have, in my opinion. Maybe she's just ready to retire. But my point is, she must have known it a year ago. She did us a disservice doing that, in my opinion.
Well, absolutely.
And now, you know, and we're none of us are happy with the way our education and our public educational system is going. She's been a part of it for 25 years now. It's time to get rid of those people.
Well, I can assure you that whoever they appoint, quote unquote, air quotes people,
and you know what, we
is
going to
be liberal.
We could have a special election because we don't have to pay Dominion extra money for a special election because Kevin Cry and the supervisors got rid of Dominion. We own our machines now, and we could have a special election one heck of a lot cheaper than we could have had it 2 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. But I just think that it's a tragedy that you're saying it that way, Nick. Is she knew she was going to retire. Unless let me play devil's advocate. Maybe some health issue has crept up that wasn't – we'll play their devil's advocate. Maybe there was something that has happened, but my guess is that's not the case. But, yes, she should have stepped aside and let candidates be voted on by the people. But now the liberal board is going to appoint a liberal superintendent.
We've got an election coming up in March. We've got another election coming up in November.
Yep.
Out of courtesy, she should stay, and we should have that on one of those ballots, if that's going to be the case.
I don't know why we couldn't hold it until November.
Ask Kathy Darling Allen.
Well, she'll have to call George Soros to get permission for that, is what she'll have to do. But, you know, why is it that public employees, and this is what Trish and I had talked about, why do they get to retire when they're 50? With these lucrative pensions, when you and I, as private sector, people go, oh, well, that's, you know, you made your bed. No. They should work. I mean, I have came up with a solution for our police shortage that we've had for years, is when these guys get to that 50-plus, I get it. They've been beat up. Their knees are bad. Their backs are bad, whatever. But their experience is amazing. Why can't we put them on a part-time basis so they can run the files, the reports, and this and that, and get and increase
accident reports,
and can keep our knowledge base super strong and keep these guys working. But no, these people, the public employees, they put in their 30 years, and in 30 year in 1 minute, they're retired with a nice pension. And so I'm wondering if Flores, knew when she ran she was retiring, because that's a question that would be interesting to hear.
Well, yes, and getting back to the police that are busted up from chasing bad guys that we're importing from other areas because we are so lenient with our criminals and our homeless. They could serve capacities in the new jail that we're going to build doing book work.
Yeah.
They just said that they're going to, Mike Johnson said that they're going to have people in there that maybe aren't going to have to deal with the prisoners.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, you know, be it the highway patrol, the city police, the sheriffs, when these guys, it's they, thems, put in their time, their knowledge base is unbelievable. I mean, they've got a crap-o-meter a mile long. They can tell when they're being lied to and everything else, and yet they retire and we lose it. And these are relatively young people. I mean, you know, they're in their 50s. Why can't we somehow find a way to keep them on as a part-timer and somehow use that to the public's benefit? And
probably because of the police union.
Well, probably because of the union is my guess. Because if you keep a part-timer on, two part-timers, I guess they can't hire one full-timer, and that's just a load of crap. But the fact of the matter is, Ms. Flores, I think unless there's a medical reason, let's give her a benefit of the doubt, a medical reason, I think that she was disingenuous by running and getting elected and now retiring.
That's my opinion also. Now let's go to the Election Advisory Committee. This is a committee. Each supervisor got to pick one person to be on it, and they are going to advise the supervisors about changes that they feel should be made at the Elections Department or with our election process. They don't have any power, but they are soliciting thoughts and advice from the public. You can go to their next meeting is January 8th, and I believe there's going to be two speakers there. One is going to be that Frank fellow that was just at Patrick Jones Town Hall, and the other guy's, I think his name's Spencer, he's going to try and debunking. And I could be mistaken, however unlikely that is, but that would be worth going to. And they haven't settled on a time, probably about noon or 1 o'clock. They're at the supervisor's meeting. But, you know, they forwarded some complaints about the election to the sheriff.
I saw that.
Fictitious voting and that kind of stuff. I went out over my travels. I've talked to three people, and one gal I talked to about 2 weeks ago, she lives in Cottonwood. She went in to vote, and somebody had already voted for her.
Oh.
So she filled out a different ballot, and then she called in to see if her vote was counted, and they counted the first voter.
Wow.
I talked to another guy when they canvassed his house. They said five people voted from this residence. He said there's only three registered voters here. And I talked to another guy, and I've got their names and their phone numbers. I talked to another guy, and he told me that he voted, but when he called to check, his vote wasn't counted.
Huh.
So I forward this information to them, and they were going to forward it to the sheriff to add to their complaint. Tuesday at the supervisor's meetings, I saw the sheriff sitting back there, so I went back and chatted with him. And Mike Johnson's real approachable. He's happy to talk to you, and I believe he's honest. So I said, you've got an investigation going on voter fraud. He says, no, I don't think so. And I said, well, they told me you do. And he said, well, I'm pretty sure he didn't commit himself, but he says, I'm sure we've forwarded that to the district attorney, and they've got their investigator.
Oh.
And I said, well, I've got these three signatures here, these three people here. And he said, well, you can't add anything to it now. So I've got to get this information to them, which I'm going to. One of them called me. And maybe there's such a thing as starting a new complaint. But what I was going to advise these girls to do that are on that committee is they've got a case number. Call up the district attorney and find out what's going on with that case.
Yeah.
So many times you call the police or the sheriff, it doesn't matter, law enforcement, they'll come out, oh, okay, your car was broke into, okay, yeah, here's a case number, we'll be in touch. You'll never hear from them again.
No.
You've got to pester them.
Yep.
And I've been attacked once, and I pestered them till they finally prosecuted the person.
Oh.
If it should have been a felony, they prosecuted them for a real minor misdemeanor, but yep. They did do something because of my pushing.
Yep.
And if you ever have a case, keep questioning. How's it going on this case? Have you done anything? And that's my advice.
Well, I would give some advice to the election committee, and that is, first off, fire, get rid of, somehow lose Kathy Darlin Allen. Anybody who's willing to go and speak on behalf of George Soros really should not be in public service, at least locally.
It's not that easy. She's elected.
No, I get that. But they can suspend her. They did it down south for malfeasance. And then whoever should take over the board, the Office of Registers, open the thing up, transparent. Stop all the secrecy. That's the problem that these folks don't get, is when there's all this secrecy about a public process, it automatically sets off there's stuff being hidden. There's an element of corruption, and Kathy has been really good about obscuring fair and honest elections. And so I would recommend to the election committee, get rid of her and put somebody in there who just says the doors are open, both sides can come in and watch and be part of the process.
So another thing they were talking about is the number of drop boxes and locations, and they want to put video cameras on them, the advisory panel does.
Yeah.
Which, personally, I don't think they should have more than 6 drop boxes. I'd have one in the middle of the parking lot at Holiday up here, one in the middle of the parking lot, lighted up parking lot, you know, at a grocery store over here, maybe one in Bernie.
Maybe one at Costco, which it seems to be where everybody in the county goes, so that would be an
out
easy one-stop shop.
Out in the middle of the parking lot where there's light all night long with a camera on it. But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
They put a camera on it. The public isn't welcome to look at the video. Kathy Darling can hide it. We don't have the right to see that because it's voter rights.
Well, and that's the thing. It's public policy. It's public information. Who voted? How many times did they drop off a vote?
But you don't have the right to see if they did.
But we got to take Kathy and other unethical.
It's not her that made that rule. That's a state law.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that would be a way to get rid of any doubt of voter fraud or election fraud is just show everything. And if, in fact, there's no voter fraud, I'll be the first on the radio to say, you know what? Fair, free elections. We lost. We won. We tied. But
when there is
all of this shenanigans going on.
There was a lot of practices going on during the last election and the election before in 2020. I didn't witness them. I hear accusations at the Board of Supervisors, and in fact, they put up a big 6 or 7 foot wrought iron fence. So, because there was death threats made, I kind of question that. If there's a death threat, they can prove it. The sheriff needs to go arrest them.
Well, and the reality is, history is almost a 100% indicator. Conservatives don't, as a rule, don't threaten people. Their protests, their marches, their meetings, their rallies are almost universally 100% peaceful.
I'll bet you liberals would do it and blame it on the conservatives.
Well, the thing is, you go to the liberal side of the tell. You got screaming, yelling, threats of death. You've got Antifa. You got BLM. I think that what she is doing is she had to come up with some kind of excuse to justify that. And if there really was death threats, it probably came from one side acting as the other.
Yes.
That's my thought.
Yes.
Yeah. But if they know who it is, then go get them. Just set an example. You know, be the conservative or not. If they have a death threat, they can trace the number. They can trace the IP address on the computer. It's not that hard in today's world to figure out who did that stuff. So if there really was one, they should go get them.
You know, it's almost election time again.
It is.
We've been complaining about a bad election in 2020, false votes, dead people voting, stuffed ballot boxes. Same thing with 2022. It's time to vote again, and they haven't done nothing.
Nope.
Not a thing. It reminds me of our force. It's not fire season now, so everybody's sitting on their rear ends instead of up there cleaning up the forest like they should be.
Yep. Well, why would you fix a system that you've already rigged? Think about that. Why would you go through the process of fixing the system and the bugs that have been identified? I mean, there's clearly identifiable issues in the voting process. Fix them. You have a couple years between elections. It's not that hard to do, but they have no intention of fixing it, Nick. It's not in their interest to fix the system and make it honest.
Why do they get to be the boss?
They have bigger screaming voices, and conservatives tend to cower when the light turns on instead of standing proud.
That's right.
That's my opinion.
Hopefully we're making a difference.
Well, you know, it's funny, as Trish and I talked about this a little on that Thursday show, and that was the fact that this world is so crazy and upside down, and yet this microphone that you and I have the pleasure of speaking on is our attempt, our megaphone, to hopefully inform people as to what's going on, because they may not be aware or they just don't have time. I mean, we could come up with every excuse in the world, but you and I somehow make time as citizens. But this is our opportunity to shine light on both sides, conservative and liberal. And it's disheartening when you find this kind of stuff and nothing ever happens. It's just it's crazy.
You know, with the decision of Colorado not to put Trump on the ballot, and that's probably not going to fly, but all the publicity and everything out of it, it means the right of the people to vote for candidates that have to be approved by liberal judges.
Yep. And liberal boards.
Yes. Yeah. They're going to tell us who we can vote for.
Well, I got to tell you, the more I watch the Supreme Court, you know, we thought that old Donnie threw in some conservative justices, but I got to tell you, I'm not so sure if things get to the Supreme Court, it's going to go the conservatives' way. What's her name? The newest lady. She's proven Kavanaugh has been wishy-washy. Roberts is a waste. And who's the new justice?
Jackson?
No, she's a complete waste. I'm talking about the
Sotomayor.
No.
Oh, come on.
No. But anyway, she's been very wishy-washy. So we're not at the conservative lean that we thought we had. So if this stuff gets there, I got to say it's a 50-50.
You know what's disgusting about that?
What's that?
It shouldn't be a lean. It should be nonpartisan.
Justice.
Follow the Constitution. We're going to take a break.
Perfect.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Wind River Resort and Casino is spreading holiday cheer one Benjamin at a time with our $30,000 holiday cash extravaganza swipe to win drawing. Swipe your free River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes. Don't miss our weekly drawings every Thursday in December starting at 7 p.m. 5 lucky winners every half hour are drawn to win up to $500 cash. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Black Bear Diner is open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Feast on traditional home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham on trays with all the fixings. Available Christmas Eve or day starting at 11 for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Or stop by and enjoy a selection of your favorite regular menu items. Spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with Black Bear Diner. Open daily, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing up this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Casa 1910. If you've been curious, perhaps even tempted, to try a Mexican puro, this is the stick to get. An absolute pleasure to smoke, and honestly, one of my all-time top tens, the Casa 1910. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
And now, back to our show.
No, Kevin Cry is going through a recall. It's going to be voted on March 4th. I feel it's an unfair recall. I feel all the reasons are fictitious. So I put together a website. It's got six PowerPoints on it, naming positive things that Kevin has done for our community in the short time that he's been in office. And I would like everybody to go to that website and pass it on to your email contacts. To get there, you put the number 4 up, and number 4, cryingoutloudkevin.com. And I think that it might change some people's mind as to whether he should be recalled or not. Another reason I came up is I wanted to hitchhike on the $3.5 million loan that was made to the soccer community to put turf on their fields, and they decided that probably didn't need to pay it off because our EU had plenty of money. I took that theory down to my banker as far as my mortgage goes, and I pointed out to him how many assets Chase had and how much money turns over each month with them, and that my mortgage didn't pencil out to, you know, just maybe 0.00001, and that I probably didn't need to make payments anymore. And he just couldn't quite get it. So I wondered if maybe one of you three Bethelites could go down to the bank with me and explain to the bank president why I don't need to pay my mortgage, the loan I agreed to pay back. So whenever you have time to do that, contact me. Thank you.
I know that voice.
I think we're taking a break for a second, aren't we? No, we're not. Okay, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Nick! Well, there you go. I can't believe you called Bethelites Bethelites. That's so strange.
We're going to get into that here in just a little bit, but website is 4, the number 4. You don't have to spell out number, just 4, cryingoutloudkevin.com. Go there. Share that with people. It's got legitimate reasons why Kevin needs to stay in office, the good things he's done for us. Now, going to the loan, the mortgage with the bank, I was hitchhiking on the city's borrowing of $3.5 million to put new turf in at the soccer field out there by Big League Dreams. And when they borrowed that money, they promised to pay it back. When it came time to start paying it back or pay it back, they decided they didn't need to because that money wouldn't finance 10 minutes worth of Reading Electric Utility. In other words, Reading Electric Utility doesn't need the money, so why should we have to pay it back?
Oh, that's an interesting concept. As a realtor, I will make sure that I talk to my buyers and convince them to buy a house of X price, and I will convince them that Bank of America or Wells Fargo or JP Morgan Chase, they're so big that they don't need to pay their loans back.
That's about what it amounts to, and it was a 3-2 vote.
And folks, put on your bootstraps. That's how it's going to be for a couple years. It's going to get a little goofy in there.
And Jack Munn sat up there, and he said it just doesn't make any sense for John to repay John the money he borrowed from John. And so, you know, a person, a community, an entity is only as good as its word. They said they'd pay it back, and then they voted not to pay it back.
Well, you know, the problem is the government gets to play with other people's money, OPM. And when it's OPM, if you get paid back, if it's too much, if there's a cost overrun, it doesn't matter. And this is just another example of they need to come down hard on those work. I mean, because the problem is, It was a fiasco from the beginning. Now, I've been out there many times and played softball and whatever. I get it.
We're talking the soccer part. Big League Dreams is a different entity.
Oh, what I'm just saying, that whole thing was set up as it was going to be this massive and money and it was going to roll in and they were going to roll it to count in wheelbarrows. And it's turned out not to be true on all fronts. And here's an example that it's deeper in the hole now. And they've given $3.5 million to bring the turf up to snuff, quote unquote. And now the people are saying, we're not even going to pay you back. I mean, that doesn't make sense at all.
And can we trust them anymore?
No. No. I mean, and the thing is, what the city should do is go and demand to look at the books of the operator. Like, we need to see your books. How much profit? What do you got? Where's your money? And if they're literally insolvent, then we need to renegotiate. We need to extend the term. We need to lower the payments.
Well,
but we gave a loan, and they said they'd pay it back.
Yes. Well, yes and no. I don't think the soccer park is penciling out. But you go out there, and there are so many kids out there playing, and
yeah,
there's so much going on. And that might be one of those projects to where maybe we do finance it with taxpayers' money, because it does benefit so many people.
Well, and it benefits it as long as it's in good condition. But I've been out there and seen that the turf is in what was in very rough shape.
Well, that's Big League Dreams, and they didn't fulfill their part of the contract, and nobody held them to it.
Well, I know, but here we are in the soccer park, and it seems like they're doing that again.
Well, the turf was deficient. It was bad to start with. It didn't hold up to its warranty. They sued and got a little money, but not much.
Well, much like things in the housing industry, when there was a bad ridge cap in a certain subdivision in Reading many, many years ago, they sued and the company just went bankrupt and nobody got anything. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, no, you know, but again, it's kind of interesting how.
You know, maybe, Ari, you should have just said, hey, we're going to donate the money to them.
A gift.
There you go.
Gift it.
Yeah, just like they are gifting rebates on electric vehicles.
Oh, Nick, you opened up a can of worms. I was about to go there, because I think that Reading Electric Utility should stop instantly, now, and retroactively giving any rebates, anything to people who buy electric bikes or electric cars or put solar on. First off, the people who put it on, they have money to buy those expensive toys. Two, it's coming at the cost of people who don't do it. So for every 25 or 30 REU payers who don't have an electric bike or don't have an EV vehicle or whatever, they're actually paying for those people to have one. What Reading Electric Utilities should do is drop their rates to offset what the cost of utilities be, and even if it only saves everybody $8 a month, that's a better use of that money than giving specific people a financial benefit for using a terrible technology.
That's socialism. They're taken from the working man and given to the
upper class.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Well, because I mean,
and
electric
we have
bike,
two classes now.
Because the electric bike is not a cheap bike. An electric car, if it wasn't for the rebates that they get when they buy, and these now rebates from REU, they would be very expensive. People wouldn't be spending $65,000 or $70,000 on a passenger family car, but because they can get them down around 30, 35, it looks like they're competing against Camrys and Hondas. In reality is, us, the taxpayers, have given all this money to these people, and REU in particular, now we're talking about REU, we're giving it to people who don't need the benefit. Give them it.
That's right. We're gonna go to when they beat Mark Mazzano out of being mayor. We got clip one. I wanted to go over these. You guys need to listen to this. This is Bethel going against Mike DiQuisto and Mark Mazzano. Could we have clip number one, please?
No, sir. I think you summed it up well.
Okay.
Anybody in the council got a motion? Ms. Winter, you have a motion? You do not? Ms. Audette, do you have a motion? Mr. Munns, you have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Contrary to popular belief, my motion is for Tanessa to be mayor, Julie to be vice mayor, and Mark can be mayor pro tem if he likes, and or whoever, or me. So that's my motion.
Okay. Is there a second for that motion?
This is difficult.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is. It's very difficult. So, I do have some concerns, so I am going to support the motion.
Why does that not surprise me? The Bethel juggernaut is at work.
This has nothing to do with Bethel.
Oh, get a life.
Nothing.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there a second motion? I'll make a second motion to nominate Mark Mazzano as mayor. To nominate Ms. Audette as vice mayor. and to nominate Mr. Munns as mayor pro tem. That would be the normal course of the normal city proceeding. There's absolutely no reason why that shouldn't be followed in this case. Mr. Mazzano has spent 4 years. He's earned it. He's worked harder than any other council member that I've seen during this time. And to do it otherwise and make Ms. Ardette mayor is just, pardon my French, it's giving the finger to the 20,000 people that voted for Mr. Mazzano and saying to them, we don't care. We're going to do what we're going to do because we're the Bethel juggernaut, and it's wrong.
Well, you know.
Okay, so now you heard the Bethel juggernaut and how Julie Winter, she has questions. Do you remember Aaron Reisner? Mike DeQuisto isn't a team player.
Yeah.
What we have is people that shouldn't even be on the council.
Nope.
Dictating policy, who's going to be the boss, and I'm with DeQuisto. It's wrong. I have I've talked to Mark Mazzano. I've gotten to know him a little bit. I've brought problems to him, and he bends over his backwards to help me, to help with problems with the community, to help with the homeless problem, to help with anything to do with the city. I have never seen a more dedicated servant.
He seems to be committed to the post for which he has been elected, and he's done a great job. Again, here's a situation that is going to be, in my opinion, regretful as time goes by, because as we heard from Mike DeQuisto, is now that riverfront area is going to be 3-2. You've got McConnell Foundation. You've got the Bethel people on the board who are going to vote for something.
Giving it away.
And the tradition of how it's been done for years has now been upended again by, and they say they're conservatives or Republicans. They're not. They're liberals. Julie Winter, they're liberals. And so taking that from Mr. Mazzano was wrong, and City of Reading will regret that.
And that's not the only reason. They want to have their way and their say with how this community is built. But Mark Mazzano declared 6 or 7 months ago that he was running for Megan Daly's spot on the California Assembly. A couple, 2 or 3 months later, Tanessa Audette, she declared her candidacy. So when it comes out on the ballot, it will say underneath her name, current mayor of Reading. And in fact, Nevada County and Placer County have already endorsed her two or three days after this meeting.
Yeah.
And that's just not right. It reminds me of here's a good one. Going back to the county, they have hired or made an offer to a new city attorney. He's coming over from Mendocino, and previously he was in Nevada County. And Carl says, "Oh, those are good conservative counties." So let's go with the second clip. This is Julie. She took offense to him. Mike DeQuisto insinuating that Bethel had something to do with this choice. So are we ready with clip two here?
I would just like to say I really, really resent the mayor saying, our former mayor anyway, saying this has anything to do with Bethel, my church, my religion. This has nothing to do with Bethel.
I resent the way you've acted. Okay, we got to – you switch the signs. Okay.
You could feel the anger of her. You could hear the audience laughing at her. And Tanisha had already reached over and snagged the mayor's sign and put it in front of her.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's pretty telling that Munns nominates Audette and not a single person claps. And DeQuisto nominates Mazzano, and the room is totally, you know, and it just shows you what's at play there.
It shows you that this majority is not going to, they don't care what the audience has, the community members, their feelings about any subject.
Yeah.
We got that from Modi.
Yep.
They just sit up there and look at their cell phone and, your 3 minutes is up. Sit down and shut up. We've made up our decision.
Yeah, we're elected. We're more powerful than you.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what we have running our city now.
And I think that's what maybe separates DeQuisto and Mazzano, is they really took it on as they were elected. They had a job to do, and they treat the public with respect.
They listen to the public and the wishes of the public. You know, Mazzano did a good job for the garden tract down there. They wanted to okay the planning commission to okay, I think it was up to 60 feet high building down there on that road, the Park Marina Drive down by Dignity Health.
Yeah.
And the citizens didn't want it, the ones that lived down there, and he got it lowered down to, I think, 30 foot.
Oh.
That was all because of him.
Well, we had Mark on our show when he was running for the city council, and I thought him to be well-informed.
Oh,
intelligent,
yes.
Common sense, and his actions since joining the board or the city council have been exactly that. And so it is a travesty that these three were able to railroad him. And it's a sad day.
You know, Julie and some of the past council members, in my opinion, are 100% to blame for the homeless situation we have here in Reading. They still deny that we're getting out-of-town homeless here.
Well, you know, since you brought that subject up, we keep giving more and more money and resources to the homeless population, and it's just getting bigger and bigger.
And we're going to give some more, too, and if we get done with this next clip, we'll bring it up. This next clip, I want you to listen to. This is Tanessa Audette acting like this was just a shock to her. So can we have that clip?
Well, I was not prepared for this. Okay.
You should have been.
Well, I wasn't.
If you weren't prepared, you should have been.
Well, I wasn't. So, it's always exciting with you, Mike. I appreciate your tenure as the mayor. I appreciate the work that you've been doing on the council for the last 5 years.
Thank you.
I think that over the course of your career here in Reading, I think you have strived to do the best for Reading. And I hear high praise from the people that know you and love you the most. I know your work extends beyond just on the council. And that is where most of the praise that I've heard about you and your reputation. And so I think it's been fitting that this would be the year that you served, and I'm grateful for the time that we've spent together. Thank you so much for your service as mayor.
Thank you.
Just for the record, I don't need a picture with the rest of the council. I know who my friends are and who my friends aren't. This whole thing is garbage, and it's political. And it's just not a good idea. It's not good for the city of Reading is why it's not good. It's not for me personally. I mean, I get upset about it, and maybe I said things I shouldn't have said or that were a little bit excited at the moment. But it's wrong for the citizens. It's wrong for the citizens who voted for Mr. Mazzano. It's wrong for the community as a whole. That should be the test for everything the council does and why they go and do it. And the way it is, it's just you can draw your own conclusions. I have mine. I'll leave it to everybody else. I do appreciate being the mayor for a year. I appreciate the city staff and all the help I got. It was very nice. It's a good job, and I'll appreciate not being mayor for next year. Thank you very much.
Okay, start.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it, Nick?
Oh, it's always challenging working with you, Mike. Isn't that what she said?
I think so. Yes, interesting working with
Mike
him.
Mike sticks up for himself.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. Those three, they appreciate people that just sit down and shut up and let them roll over the top of them.
Well, and in this example, DeQuista's not even standing up for himself. He's standing up for Mr. Mazzano, which is even maybe a more noble thing.
And the city of Reading.
So, yes, the city of Reading now has the Bethelites in charge, and the votes are going to start to be very interesting to see which way they lean, and you can just trace it back to those three.
Yes. Oh, yes. You watch going forward. Hell, it's going to be interesting. I had a little something to say, so we'll play that fourth clip, and then we'll move on to the navigation center that's been okayed.
Outstanding.
I wanted to commend Mark Mazzano with the class he demonstrated right now being beat out of being mayor. And Jack Munns, that was a piss poor way to do it. Really disappointed in you. And I'd like to take the next 2.5 minutes for Tanessa Audette to tell us her accomplishments that she's accomplished in the last year that makes her to have the opportunity to be mayor. Go ahead. That's right, there aren't any.
Wow, Nick. Zing, zing. Bang, bang.
Well, I still can't think of any.
No, and neither can she, obviously.
I asked her on her show when she was in here declaring her candidacy for Megan's spot. I named off a few of Mark's accomplishments, and I said, "Do you have any? Can you tell us your accomplishments?" And it went silent, and then they went to a break. And then she came out and says, "Well, I picked up after the homeless too."
Well, you know, it just goes to show you the politician is alive and well in Redding, California.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I wish people would start going to these meetings if you have time. It takes a while to get tuned into the local politics, and once you finally do, you know, sometimes it really smells. And we're on a tip of cleaning up Redding.
Well, I mean, we've made national news starting with the election.
Not Redding, Shasta County.
Well, I say we made the news with national news and world news with Shasta County doing the Dominion. And so, you know, we are kind of the point of the spear of trying to revive common sense and conservative ideas. You know, unfortunately, you know, you have stuff like that's happening. And I've said it before on our show, Nick, and that is the fact that, you know, it's a 2-to-1 ratio, conservative or Republican to Democrat. And yet, you know, the city council is liberal and the board of supervisors, they're trying like heck to get it liberal.
You know, I wanted to go back to this deal about Dr. Moo getting a package of up to $333,000 more severance pay. I don't know what he would get total. It's quite a bit. It seemed like it was about 750,000. But Mary Rickard was against it. I want to read what she said. Rickard said the agreement was an affront to the other county workers that aren't receiving similar agreements. What about the almost 2,000 employees that we have right now that need our protection? Whether it's someone that works in corrections as a correctional officer or who works for HHS, Health and Human Services Agency. I mean, this is ridiculous that we're throwing money at these high-level people that you handpick that are your people. I'm just outraged by this preferential elitist treatment. I want to apologize to every single employee. This is embarrassing. You know what's embarrassing, Mary, is that you put every employee as if they gave up something to go to work for the county, to serve the county. These people, they've been there. This is how they make their living. They're not giving up anything. In fact, they've constantly got their hands out for more money, more benefits.
Well, and as a doctor, he went through probably 10 to 12 years of schooling at the cost of many hundreds of thousands of dollars. Then he's given up his private practice. He's a little different than the head of the building department or any other department head who might have gotten a cheap degree from a cheap college. So, you know, we need somebody who's going to use common sense and be the health officer that is taking people's lives into account. And I hope Mr. Wu, I believe his name,
Mu,
is that guy. Because the past one that got that retired was horrendous, was lockdowns and all the work. So hopefully Mr. Mu is more of a common sense kind of a guy.
Well, the thing is,
the pay is relative to the fact he's given up a private practice to come work here.
And the reason this was brought forward by Chairman Patrick Jones is that, who knows, 2 years, 4 years from now, we're going to get another board of Mary Rickards and Tim Garman, and they're going to fire him just because they don't like Patrick put him in there.
Yep.
You know, he needs some protection for giving up his lifestyle, his income, to come and serve the people of Shasta County.
Makes complete sense. I believe, Nick, are we at the end there, Christina? 1 minute. Hey, guys, I hope that you all have a merry, merry, merry Christmas. The weather's going to be a little gray and cold, but let your heart be warm with the Christmas spirit. And, Mr. Nick, Christmas, sir.
I've been misbehaved all year. I don't expect anything for Christmas. I have 364 days of bliss. You suckers, enjoy your one day of rewards. I hope you get socks and pajamas.
There you go from Nick, folks. We'll catch you on the next show in 2 weeks. Have a great day.
I love you, and I hope you will change. So I gritted my teeth and didn't complain.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.